You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we are back here with another episode on this Taco Tuesday. Now, unfortunately, Spencer Schultz cannot join us today, but it is still me. I am still here, and we will still talk about Ravens football. And we got into the Ravens 31-17 win over the Washington football team yesterday, but now we are a quarter through the NFL season in 2020. The Ravens have played four games. They are 3-1. And you know, honestly, this is the next best scenario to being 4-0. And you might be saying, well, yeah, duh, 4-0, and then 3-1, and then 2-2. Well, what I'm saying is the Ravens' only loss came to the defending Super Bowl champions. I mean, look, I'll take that 10 out of 10 times if you're looking at it from a perspective of the Ravens are beating teams they're supposed to beat. They haven't necessarily played down to competition, and when they do it, it's only for certain stretches. They still are able to beat these teams by two, three scores. So the Ravens got humbled at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. It happened. They got humbled. Hopefully, the next time they play Kansas City, which will be most likely in the playoffs, I mean, it will be in the playoffs, they don't play them again in the regular season, they will be a lot better equipped and a lot more ready to play that Chiefs team. But what I want to get into today is just how the Ravens have fared both on the offensive and the defensive sides of the ball throughout the first quarter of the season, because I think most people right now are looking at this Ravens team and they're not seeing 30-point blowouts. They're not seeing the Ravens put up 40 points on teams, 50 points on teams, and they're saying, oh man, this team is in trouble. Oh man, this team isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Once we play real teams, it's not going to do this, and they're not going to do that, and everything's going to go wrong. And the Kansas City game is a blueprint on how to beat the Ravens. There is a lot that this team is doing right. But it's also safe to say that they are not to the level that they were in 2019. And I think a lot of people are underestimating the preseason, the offseason, just how important those programs are to the success of a team, not just the Ravens, to an NFL franchise. Getting these rookies up to the NFL speed before real games start. Getting veterans time to really just practice, get game reps on teams that are not your own defense in real game situations. That's really, really important. So I want to go through some offensive and defensive stats. So we'll talk about the offense in the first segment and the defense in the second segment. And then in this final segment, I want to highlight some potential trades that Baltimore could make. Not necessarily players, but positions where through the first quarter of the season, Baltimore has struggled a little bit. So they could maybe look at making a move before the trade deadline. And then we can also talk about some free agency additions that Baltimore could make as well. Again, not necessarily players, but positions. So let's jump into all this right here. But before we do that, of course, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We are there waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at ChaosJerker34. If you missed it, our mailback episode with Cole will be coming out tomorrow. There's still time to get your questions in. I tweeted out the question tweet to put your tweets under. Cole also tweeted something out. So be sure to get your questions in if you want them answered by Cole and I. But all that being said, we're going to jump in here. And let's start off with the offensive side of the ball. Lamar Jackson and company, 3-1 on the season. And you know, this offense, again, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're making sure that they are beating the teams they are supposed to beat. And honestly, that's a really important part of what's been happening in 2020 for Baltimore, because over the last few years, we've seen Baltimore play down to opponents. We've seen Baltimore lose to teams that they are not supposed to be losing to. You know, they play down to an opponent. They don't necessarily prepare for an opponent, and it ultimately ends up in a loss. So far, we haven't seen that. But it's not like the Ravens are playing horrible, awful teams. The Cleveland Browns are a much improved team. I said they were going to make the playoffs. This year, I said it as the 7th seed, but they could honestly make it. I still think the Ravens winning the North. They can make it as a 5 seed. They're playing very well right now, and the Ravens stomped them. Then you look at the Houston Texans, who just fired Coach Bill O'Brien. They had a tough stretch. They had a tough 3-game stretch playing the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers. And then the Vikings, who are no slouches as well, so they start the season 0-4. But they have talent. Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, David Johnson, or at least what's left of them. So you have a lot of talent on that roster. And then, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. Baltimore down early in that game. Bad second quarter. But they are the defending Super Bowl champions for a reason. They played the Ravens really well. I mean, give them credit. You have to give them credit. So for Baltimore, this offense has been doing some good things against some good defenses. And speaking of the offensive side of the ball, some team stats, some total offense stats for this Ravens team at the moment is you look at this in the Ravens, pending the results of the Monday night games because the stat sheet doesn't update until tomorrow on Pro Football Reference. Right now, in 4 games, the Ravens rank 20th. In total yards at 1,366 yards per game. Again, this is before the Monday night games translate over, so by the time this is out, Ravens will probably be around 21, 22, maybe even 23. But you see teams like the Green Bay Packers, who in 3 games had over 10 yards more than the Ravens in total offense, with one less game played. But we all knew, and I want to reiterate this point, I think everybody knew that the Ravens were not going to be as statistically blown up as everybody thought they were going to be. They weren't going to have these gaudy stats everywhere. They weren't going to have all these different things where they're rushing for 200 yards a game on teams and they're passing for 200 yards a game on teams. That's not how this offense is going to work this year, especially with barely an offseason, especially with no preseason. Baltimore right now is doing what they are supposed to do, but the yardage totals are definitely down. But you look at that, yes, they rank in the 20s in total yards, but let's look at total points forced. The Ravens, again, pending the games on Monday night, are tied for 6th with the Green Bay Packers, so they'll move down to 7th when Monday night's games are put into this database, but 7th in points forced. I mean, that's great. It means they're being efficient with the football. Their defense is putting them in good spots. This is the football that you want the Ravens to play. It's not necessarily 40-point blowout after 30-point blowout, then you get another 30-point blowout. That's not what the Ravens need to do to win the Super Bowl. They need to play nice, good, sound, fundamental football, and that is what will get the Ravens to the promised land, to the Super Bowl. And let's look at turnovers here as well. The Ravens have not turned the ball over a ton. They're tied for 10th in the league with 4 turnovers. The other teams tied with them are the Cincinnati Bengals, the 49ers, the Cleveland Browns as well. So they've done a good job of protecting the football. When you look at it, the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles both have 9 turnovers. So Baltimore's done a good job of protecting the football. I really think it's important for them to do that. But again, you're going to look at first down stats. You're going to see Baltimore down at the bottom of the league, tied with Kansas City and Washington at 23 with 80 total first downs. The Dallas Cowboys have 119. The Dallas Cowboys are a 1-3 football team. That's not necessarily dictating your success. You look at the yards passing for Baltimore. They, again, are in the bottom half of the league. They're 30th. They are 30th. Only the New York Jets and the New England Patriots, pending the Monday night game, have passed for more. So the Ravens will probably be in the bottom 2 of the league in passing yards, but they're still a 3-1 football team. Even rushing the football, Baltimore has been outrushed by the Cleveland Browns by almost 150 yards. They rank number 2 in the league, but that doesn't matter. The Browns are a 3-1 football team. The Ravens are a 3-1 football team. The Ravens are doing what they need to do to win the game. They are. And on the offensive side of the ball, it's not pretty at all times. I never said it was pretty at all times. But Baltimore, again, has the right things going for them. They are not playing their best football. And you still have guys like, okay, Lamar Jackson's 769 yards through 4 games. That's not bad. He also has 235 rushing yards. Marquise Brown is the leading receiver with 242 receiving yards. This offense was never a passing offense. Through the first quarter of the season, I'm decently impressed. I'm not blown away, but I'm decently impressed with what I've seen out of this Ravens football team, especially on offense, because, again, they are working with a new offensive line. Marshall Yanda gone in as a rookie in Tyree Phillips. Matt Skura returning from that gruesome knee injury. It's going to take time, and the Ravens are still blowing out teams by 2-3 scores when they're winning, even with an offense that is not clicking on all cylinders yet. You see Lamar Jackson have some chemistry issues with a few of these guys like Miles Boykin, for example. But the Ravens are making the mistakes now. I fully expect them to correct them. And Baltimore is in for a nice second half of the season. And I know we're not to the halfway point yet, but I think at the second half of the season, when everything starts to take off for the Ravens, it'll probably be around week 9, week 10. I think right after the bye is when Baltimore's going to really get things figured out. We'll see what additions Eric DaCosta makes. This offense is in a good position right now. They're not blowing the league away with stats, but stats don't win you football games. Production does. You can win by 30 points. You can win by 1 point. It still means you're 1-0. Baltimore's doing their job, and I think they're doing it pretty well on offense. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we get back, we're going to be getting into the defensive side of the ball, looking at some total stats and individual stats there. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass and start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And we are back here with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Taco Tuesday episode. Your host, Kevin Allstreicher, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the offensive stats throughout the first quarter of the 2020 season for Baltimore. But now let's flip that field and talk about the defense. And the first thing I want to talk about with the defense is the total yards allowed per game. So the opponent yards per game for Baltimore right now is 367.5 yards per game. Again, the database will not be updated with the Monday night games, but that ranks 17th in the entire NFL, 367.5 yards per game. But let's take a deeper dive into that, because obviously there's passing defense and then there's rushing defense. So let's first talk about the rush defense, which honestly I think has been pretty stout this year outside of a few possessions here or there. Honestly, week one against Cleveland is where most of that concern lies, but the Ravens have done a really good job of limiting the ground game for opposing teams. They're currently tied for sixth in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints, only allowing 97.5 yards per game on the ground. Now that's really great considering the fact that they have played Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in week one. They played David Johnson in week two. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week three. And then week four, you saw Antonio Gibson. You saw J.D. McKissick. That's not a bad rushing attack. It's not top of the world, but it's not bad. So the Ravens have limited good talent to only 97.5 yards per game on the ground. Where the concern is with the passing defense. The pass defense for Baltimore has not been great this year, but I don't think that all falls on the secondary. According to TeamRankings.com, they're allowing 270 pass yards per game. That's 26th in the entire NFL, again, pending those Monday night games. But still, I don't think this is all on the secondary. The Ravens' pass rush has not been great this year. It's not been great. It's not been absolutely horrendous. Can't get pressure anytime because this Ravens pass rush is a pressure team, but they're not really a sack team. They get to the quarterback, but they don't necessarily bring the quarterback down. When you look at the TeamRankings.com sack percentage, what they have, Baltimore ranks 20th in the league with a 5.26. It's actually tied for 20th with the New England Patriots. 5.26 sack percentage on quarterbacks in the NFL through the first quarter of the season. Now, that's not great. And you look at the Ravens sack leaders right now. Matthew Judon and Tyus Bowser currently lead this Ravens team with 2 sacks. Now, Matthew Judon got his 2 sacks in the Washington game while Tyus Bowser accumulated them over the first 4 weeks, but Baltimore has not been a big sack team this year. You have two from the guys I just mentioned, two each, one from Calais Campbell, one from Deshaun Elliott, one from Patrick Queen, one from Jalen Ferguson, and then half a sack each for Marlon Humphrey and Chuck Clark. So, I mean, you have guys on this roster who are supposed to be contributing sack numbers. You'd like to see Jihad Ward get a sack or two here or there. Maybe you'd like to see someone like Derek Wolfe come in and get a sack or two. The Ravens right now are relying on guys who I think have the potential, but they're not necessarily putting that potential into motion and translating it to the football field. Again, you'd like to see Pernell McPhee get some sacks. So where is that and how is it affecting the secondary? I've said it so many times. I've talked about it so many times. You cannot let quarterbacks have 3, 4, 5 seconds in the pocket. You just can't do it. What that does is it allows the quarterbacks to go through their first read, their second read, their third read, and then all of a sudden, once they go through their third, fourth reads, if the pressure's not in their face, they'll either go back to their first read, who at that point is probably open, or somebody is open, because secondaries just can't cover for that long. They just cannot do it. And unfortunately for Baltimore, it's been kind of the story of games sometimes, or the story of stretches in games sometimes, where Baltimore will just be stonewalled at the line. We saw it against Washington on Sunday. They were not able to get to Dwayne Haskins at some points, and then he would just kill the Ravens, whether it be Terry McLaurin, whether it be Antonio Gibson. The Ravens also struggled with screens on Sunday, so how do you stop the screens? You have to set up better for them and know when they're coming. Now, you can't know that on every single play. It's just not how it works. But Baltimore, if they can set up for it better, if they can get to their guys, I mean, I think this defense, again, just like the offense, they're not going to wow you with stats. They're not going to do it. But this bend-don't-break defense that has been shown throughout the first 4 weeks of the season, the first quarter, has been very promising. You're having two starting linebackers, or two guys who were starting for the Ravens, who are rookie linebackers. Now, LJ Ford has kind of taken over a starting job there because he's played so well, but Patrick Queen, he's a young rookie. He hasn't had the preseason. He didn't have a big offseason program, so he doesn't know the ins and outs of the NFL game like a regular rookie would with a full preseason, full offseason program. You're also relying, and this is a part I still don't understand, on four outside linebackers to get this production, and four guys who were relatively unproven. Matthew Judon, yes, he's shown that he has the production, but can he consistently put it up? Can he consistently get numbers? He has not shown that yet. Jalen Ferguson and Tyus Bowser, while there's been improvement, they're not necessarily guys who are going to win you football games, and Pernell McPhee, as Cole talked about last week, does look a step slow, and that's what happens. I'm not saying Pernell McPhee is an awful football player anymore, but as age comes in, as age starts to creep in, these guys aren't nearly as effective as they were in the prime of their careers, and for McPhee, it's a big difference from last year where he was really performing well for his age and in the contract the Ravens signed him to now where he hasn't contributed a sack. He's decent against the run still. I do like that part of his game. But the Ravens have to get more pressure on the quarterback. It's really, really important. I mean, anybody knows it's really, really important. You have to fluster these guys in the pocket, especially with Joe Burrow coming in town. And we'll talk about this throughout the rest of the week. But this is a huge, huge test for this Baltimore Ravens pass rush, because with how horrendous the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is, if they cannot get pressure on Joe Burrow, there will be long discussions for the Ravens top brass as to how they fix this pass rush, because you thought you were getting it in Calais Campbell and with Derek Wolfe. Those guys have been great against the run, but the pass rush just is not there yet. So we'll see how it works out. Again, the secondary is, I think, still phenomenal. Even with the loss of Tavon Young, you have guys like Anthony Averett stepping up. You haven't heard his name a bunch. I think he's doing really well. So overall, the Baltimore defense is bend, don't break. If every possession ends in a punt, or if every possession ends in a kick, that's actually better. If every possession ends in a kick, either a field goal or a punt, I'm happy. The Ravens are happy because they can go down the field with that offense and score 7. So if that's what happens, and it's been kind of the MO of this defense outside of week 3, I think Baltimore's done a great job on both sides of the ball. They're not going to wow you in the stat category like they did last season, but they get the job done, they get the victories, and that is why they are 3-1 this season. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about some moves that Eric DaCosta and company could make as the trade deadline slowly approaches, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts in his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there, how'd you hear about us box? They know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. So go to BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. And we are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens episode here on Taco Tuesday. Kevin Ostrich, your host, still hanging out with you here. We talked about kind of a quarter season recap for the Baltimore Ravens in 2020, but now let's talk about what the Ravens could possibly do to improve this team. Again, not necessarily players the Baltimore could target, but positions they should be looking at. The number one position I'd be looking at if I am the Baltimore Ravens is pass rush. It could be outside, it could be inside. The Ravens just need more pass rush. It's been an issue for them all season. It dates back to last season. So what Baltimore needs to end up doing is finding somebody, I think they will end up finding somebody, who can get pressure on the quarterback while also be able to bring the quarterback down. That is so important right now for Baltimore because it forces teams into third and longs. And while Baltimore hasn't been great in third and longs this season, let's say it is a second down sack. It forces a team into a third and long, third and 12, third and 13, third and 14, instead of like a third and 7, third and 6, third and 5. Then if a team gets 4 yards, they can easily go for it on fourth and 1. That's just one of the scenarios I'm kind of thinking about. Free agency, trade. The Ravens, I fully expect to go after a pass rusher. I'd be kind of surprised if they didn't. I think Pernell McPhee isn't giving them a ton right now from that position. And again, they're only relying on four outside linebackers right now. I'm a little more confident when Justin Madubuike is going to return. The inside pass rush, I think, will be a little better once he does return. But for the Ravens, they just need that other guy opposite of Matthew Judon. Tyus Bowser's played all right. Jalen Ferguson has played okay. But to be a championship team, the Ravens need multiple threats on the outside who can get to the quarterback. I just think that's how it has to be. Free agency-wise, is it Clay Matthews? Is it Cameron Wake? Do they bring Terrell Suggs home? Trade-wise, who's out there? Do they bring in J.J. Watt as that defensive end outside linebacker hybrid? Is it Ryan Kerrigan? Is it Ryan Anderson? Do you try to make a move at Josh Allen from the Jaguars? That'd probably cost a lot, and the Jaguars probably wouldn't part with him. But, I mean, the point stands. Baltimore does need somebody to get to the quarterback to make sure that the secondary can get a few balls that are, might be bad decisions by quarterbacks and that the secondary doesn't have to cover for 18,000 years. So for Baltimore, that's one position. Another position I could see the Ravens going after is a slot cornerback type, maybe a Desmond King. Maybe you look at a Javion Elliott. But I mean, I think Baltimore's okay right now. I think they're content. I don't think they want to necessarily give up capital. They do have Marcus Gilchrist, who's a safety corner hybrid on the practice squad right now, 31 years old, has, I believe, over 100 career NFL starts or 100 career NFL games. But for the Ravens, they could look into a Desmond King because he provides them versatility at both slot cornerback and safety. It allows Marlon Humphrey to move back to the outside. It allows the Ravens to put Jimmy Smith back in that safety corner position, which I think they really liked doing because he can match up on tight ends really well. So that's another option for the Ravens. And I also think maybe interior offensive line, just maybe. But the thing I don't want people to think is that, oh, they're going to give up on Tyree Phillips or they're going to give up on Matt Skura. Tyree Phillips has improved admirably. He's improved a lot over the last 4 weeks from where he was in week one to where he is at the end of week four. Very much visible in his improvement. He's improved a ton. So I actually like the Ravens putting him through his struggles. Yes, the pressures at the right guard position are up from last season. but that's to be expected. Marshall Yanda wasn't a Hall of Famer in his first year. He was a rookie who had to kind of ease his way into the NFL game. So for Baltimore, I think they're doing the right thing. Matt Skura is where the concern for me lies. If he cannot get back to his form, what do the Ravens do? Do they bring in center help? I don't know what they would necessarily do, but there are some things to consider on that front. And then I also think wide receiver could be a position where Baltimore goes. I mean, right now, Miles Boykin and Willie Snead aren't really giving anything to the Ravens right now. You look at their stats on the year. Willie Snead has 10 receptions. He's actually caught all 10 of his targets for 117 yards and a score. Miles Boykin, 10 receptions for 111 yards and no scores. It's not like they're doing nothing. But the Ravens could stand to have another threat outside of Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. Devin Duvernay could get an uptick in snaps. He's been getting an uptick in snaps. We saw the week 4 uptick that he got. But the Ravens right now are not getting enough outside of blocking. They are both good blockers, Snead and Boykin. But they need more from a wide receiver perspective, from a catching perspective, from taking a defense away. Maybe if these guys, one of them becomes more of a threat, teams will start to focus more attention. But you see the low light of them banging into each other in week 3 against the Chiefs. That's just not going to scare teams off. They're going to double Mark Andrews. They're going to double Marquise Brown. When their number is called, they are productive. But their number is called so little, one, because there's an defender in the backfield, Lamar Jackson has to scramble, two, because they can't just get open. I do think that the Ravens have pieces right now. They have good pieces. I don't think Miles Boykin is a bust. I would not call him that by any stretch of the imagination. Willie Snead provides a veteran presence to the Ravens team that they need. But at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to need somebody else to catch the football and be a threat because they don't have Hayden Hurst anymore either. He was somebody who was another threat pass catching, but he's not there anymore. So what do you do? There's a lot they could do, but are they going to do it? Are they going to go out there? Are they going to be aggressive? We saw the Ravens go after the cornerback position last year at the trade deadline where there wasn't necessarily a huge, huge need, but it was a need that was underrated. So you look at an underrated need for this Ravens team, it'd be a third tight end. I don't know who they would trade for. The Ravens right now are working with Patrick Ricard as that third in line guy, but maybe the Ravens view it as a need. Maybe the Ravens want to look at another inside linebacker because they just need another playmaker there. I wouldn't really bank on that. I think Baltimore is completely fine at inside linebacker, but maybe they don't feel comfortable with a rookie as the third string guy. I don't know. Maybe the Ravens go after another tackle, like a backup type, to secure a spot for, you know, maybe if DJ Fluker has to kick into guard. There are a lot of options for this Ravens team, but I would be shocked. I would be so shocked if the Ravens didn't go after a pass rusher. The Ravens, yes, they had a good day against the Washington football team. It wasn't perfect, but it was a good improvement from what they were getting out of their pass rush. But with Calais Campbell, with Derek Wolfe, with these guys improving, I do think that there is room for improvement, and overall Baltimore I think has the pieces to do so, but I think they need to add something else to really move the needle to a championship squad. If they didn't, I would still consider them a championship squad, but I would just feel more comfortable if they did add another piece to work into the defense, to work into the offense, whatever it may be, to make sure that they have enough to beat teams like the Chiefs. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow, it's our mailbag episode with Cole Jackson of Russell Street Report. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.